Ghost Stories Online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint, where you just painted.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. Phone number is 855-853-4802. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com or email your M4A or MP3 or whatever file you have of you sharing your story to Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. That's so you can get your stories to us, of course. Share our show on Facebook, Twitter, whatever you may be using. Helps us find new listeners and more ghost stories and, of course, create a better show for you. So we do appreciate all of that. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you again as we kick off Ouija Awareness Month.
So some of our listeners have found, I guess, great pleasure in sending me scary pictures.
Have they?
Yes. So if I could just say, please don't do that.
Are they real pictures, or are they just like the scary pictures that like, ooh, it's a zombie?
No, it's like, I forwarded some to you because I thought they were worthy of being on Seeing Ghosts.
Oh, I saw that today.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't look at it in great detail. Did you see anything in it?
Mm-hmm.
Is it pretty good?
I saw a man, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, I was having this conversation with someone the other day because they had sent me a picture. And they said, you see the guy here in, it was like between two gravestones. And I forgot where it was. But my honest reaction was, no, I really don't. I don't see anything here. And then they tried to clue me in a little bit more, and I wasn't doubting that they mm-hmm. were seeing anything, but I'm just like, I just don't see it. And I mean, am I looking at the right place? Am I looking, you know, is it
yeah.
off? And I'm trying to figure this out. And I, for the life of us going back and forth, I couldn't pick it out. And they said, you know, I have the same thing. There's some people I show this to, they can't see it at all. There's other people I show it to, and they just see it immediately. And they're, and
mm-hmm.
so I'm almost wondering, even in photos or video, are there people who can, you know, just like in real life, sense these things and see these things easier than others?
I'm starting to think maybe so.
I'm wondering if that is the case, because, I mean, sometimes we get these photos in, and some are obvious to me, which I think I'm kind of the layman at seeing these.
Sure.
I'm not, like, sensitive, if you will, to pick up on some things. And people are like, no, it's right here. It's obvious. I'm like, looks like, and it's not that I'm seeing anything there. It's not like I'm saying, oh, it's glare mm-hmm. or it's, you know, some sort of explained abnormality, which that does happen.
Sure.
But sometimes there's just literally, I don't see anything there. I don't see any abnormality in the photo, but they'll be like, no, it's right there. And it's not like it's fog or something where I can go, no, it's just, well, I don't see anything.
Here's what's funny about the picture that I'm mentioning is that they sent it and they said, you know, here's just some pictures of the creepy house that we went to.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't say anything about, look in this picture, what do you see? Because I immediately saw this man in the picture. And they didn't even reference it makes me wonder if they even saw it.
I have it pulled up here.
Do you want me to come show you?
Yeah, there's the zoomed in one. Which one are we looking at here?
I'll come show you. Hold on.
So what we have here is there's four photos. There's one of a White House kind of like in a desert-ish setting. And then there's a zoomed in photo where you see two eyes. The two eyes are obvious there. But what else are we? Okay, so Jenny's going to, she's looking at the eyes one. Oh, I see it. Yeah, right there. Okay. That's creepy. It almost, yeah, I mean, because the eyes are what you or it looks like eyes are what you tend to gravitate to, but then off in the distance, it does look like there's a,
like wearing a white handkerchief.
Yeah, there's a
jacket.
That is creepy. That's very creepy. I just saw the eyes there, and that's what I gravitated to and thought, well, that technically could be almost anything. The man there is much more distinctive. And is that just a zoom in from this from one of these other photos, or is that like its own?
I don't know.
Discreet photo. Creepy place.
Yeah.
And this is a story that we're going to have on a regular episode coming up?
I believe the show that we record tomorrow.
Okay, so the show, so tomorrow's show.
Yes.
If you're listening to this right now, we'll have the story behind this picture in it. And the picture will be on an upcoming episode of Seeing Ghosts, or it, by the time this airs, it may already be up. It'll be on the next episode of Seeing Ghosts that we do. I'll definitely use that one. That's
No, I was gonna see. I forgot who sent it.
Chris in Tennessee.
Okay, so Chris, there you go.
All right, Chris, that's creepy. That's very creepy. I have not read the letter of the story, but I know Jenny has.
So. He didn't even mention it, so I'm like, oh, maybe he just saw the eyes and thought
maybe
that was it.
That's what I thought. Wow, well, that's good stuff. So anyway, if you want us to check out a lot of the Seeing Ghost photos, and just so you know, the Seeing Ghost photos that we do show, they have to be Tony visible. So that's, I think, a fair thing, because I think a lot of the audience is kind of like me, not super sensitive. Some certainly are. Some are amazing at it. Mm-hmm. But I think just as a whole, if it's going to make it to Seeing Ghost, you should be almost anyone should be able to pick up on it somehow.
Okay.
At least get a good sense of that it's there.
So it should be totally obvious to anybody.
Not, I guess if you put it like that. You may need to do a little searching. I do a lot of the pointing out for you.
Sure.
And I zoom in, so it's not like here's a giant canvas and try and figure out where the ghost. It's not where's Waldo mm-hmm. on the ghost. We zoom in and we show you specifically where it is. Just so you know, when you sign up to be an EPP and check out Seeing Ghosts, they are fairly obvious ghost photos, but they're good. So anyway, check it out at ghostpodcast.com. Let's go to our first caller of the day, Chris in New York. Hi.
What's up, brewskis? It's Chris from Brooklyn once again. I'm going to finally tell you guys the Stigmata story, plus another quick story after that. The Stigmata story actually occurred in the house that I moved to after living in that other house that was extremely haunted. And actually, the Stigmata story, it actually happened once again in the shower. As of my first story I was telling you about, it happened in the shower as well. I don't know what it is with me and showers. I guess we don't get along. It's probably something to do with the water and energy and everything else. But anyway, once again, in the shower, normal thing, normal setting, normal vibe, no bad energy, nothing. Everything was fine. And then I'm sitting there in the shower, and then out of nowhere, I just start smelling blood, like overwhelming blood. It just stunk so bad. It's horrible. The next thing I know, this is the part that I kind of get a little leery about because it sounds kind of unbelievable. But next thing I know, I'm about 4 or 5 inches in the air, and I'm literally like on the cross situation. It's like my legs are crossed. My arms are out and my head's kind of tilted. It's like as if I was on the cross itself, and the smell of blood was intense while this all was happening. And as quick as it came, is as quick as it moved on. Next thing I know, I was released. I go back to the ground. Everything's fine. Smell's gone. And that was kind of really basically it. It just came out of nowhere and moved on. I did a little research, and apparently stigmata occurs sometimes when somebody is questioning your faith. But that doesn't really kind of apply, because I'm not really the most religious person in the world, so I don't know what may have caused the stigmata. But this happened at least 10, 12 years ago. Nothing came from it. Nothing happened after that. It was just that quick little incident, and everything just went back to normal. Now, I have a quick little story that involves another friend of mine and his extremely haunted house. This probably had to be in the late 90s, maybe 2000 the latest. I'm just, you know, going to walk to his house to go hang out with my friend. I look up in the window, and all of a sudden I see like this little like clown figurine. Not figurine, I stand corrected. It was more like a doll size, a little bit bigger. No big deal. I go upstairs to see my friend. I knock on the door, he lets me in, and I go, hey, I see your brother has this like new little toy. Like he's like playing with a clown doll, right? He's like, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah, when I came by, I looked up in the window and I seen a clown. And I assume it was your little brother. He's like, no, like he don't have no clown doll, nothing like that at all. And then come to find out that he was kind of almost plagued by this, I guess, clown figure, where he would tell me all crazy stories that it would just appear in his house. It would just kind of rise from nowhere. It's just, it was a whole crazy thing with this particular spirit. Obviously not a clown, probably most likely something way darker and deeper, but it was just crazy how, like, I seen this clown clear as day. It looked like it was there. And then when I get upstairs, he's telling me that there was nothing of the sort. Very strange. I have a lot more stories to tell. I should have probably mentioned this the first time. I am considered empathic, definitely sensitive to all this stuff. I don't know if it's like, as you say, a haunted place or a haunted life. I don't know which category I fall into. Things really haven't happened to me as much lately in life. I'm in my 30s now. I still don't really get, I don't get any strange feelings. I don't pick up on things as much, but that's just probably how it is. But anyway, thanks for listening to my stories. I'll be sure to call back with some more. Thanks a lot. Chris from Brooklyn.
So a doll, a clown doll, like walking around playing on its own.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
What could possibly go wrong there?
Yeah, there's something going on there besides just the doll. Something probably controlling the doll.
There was something the other day I was reading about with the, the clown stuff that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
There's like some arrests that have finally been made. And by the time this airs, it's like 2 week old news. But I guess... They finally arrested some people in connection with some of that stuff.
Okay.
And it turns out, from what I was reading, and this is, like I said, this is happening on X date, where I'm maybe more has come up by the time this hits the air. But the one story I read, it seemed like some sort of sick, you know, messed up prank that someone was trying to do. And they had like taken to custody like an adult and two teenagers.
Okay.
On one of them. But the thing is, there's been multiple all over the country, so I'm highly doubtful that these kind of pathetic looking people that were doing this are involved all over the country in some sort of, you know, weird mm-hmm. clown thing. But they didn't look like the most upstanding of citizens.
Okay.
On the mugshots.
Fair enough.
By any means. So I guess it's like, oh, these are the people who are doing this horrible thing. So there you go.
Well, that's good that they're starting to capture some of these people that are doing this.
Yeah.
Since they're not coming forward and just saying, oh, it's a prank for this movie or whatever.
And it's not for, I think it's just people that are like, I think it's become a copycat thing.
Uh-huh.
Is really what it's become. Where there's, like, initially there was that one for that movie that did come out. And they said, this is just creepy. And that one wasn't doing anything. It wasn't luring anybody. It was just walking around.
Mm-hmm.
Then came out and said, look, it's for a movie. Everybody calm down. That's all it is. We're done. And then I think other people started thinking, oh, maybe we could start doing this too. And we have no connection or reason for doing it.
You gotta wonder about the thought process there.
Not much of one.
No.
Not much of one. But yeah, just very, very creepy. So anyway, that's the latest on that.
Okay.
It's good to see there's some resolution coming out of some of those. And it's
at least partially, yes.
Yeah, somewhat. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to the caller. Hi.
Good evening, Brewskis. This is Terry from Texas. I have a short story that took place in 1980 or 1981 in rural central Texas. I lived out in the country, and I was a sheriff's dispatcher for the local county sheriff's office and was getting ready to go to work and I just stepped out of the bathtub and was drying off, and I heard through the window the sound of a horse clip-clopping into our driveway. Well, then it sounded like it pulled up. Now, I heard no whinnies, no snick, no whickers, any normal horse sounds except the clip-clopping. But it sounded like it rode right up into the driveway and was basically right outside the bathroom window. Well, I looked, and of course, I couldn't see anything. It was dark. But I went on ahead and got dressed and came out of the bathroom to meet my mother in the dining room. And she was heading for the front door. And I said, "Where are you going?" She said, "Well, I heard something outside and I want to see what it was." I said, "Well, what did you hear?" And she said, "I heard a horse." So we went to the front door, stepped out on the porch, and turned on the driveway light, and there was nothing out there. Now, it wasn't such a light that I could go out and check the ground. We had a gravel, sand driveway, and it would have shown prints. But I waited till the next morning when I got off work and came home, and I checked. And there were no hoof prints in the sand or no gravel messed around like it had been, ridden on by a horse. There was no explanation as to what it was, but what was weirder about the whole thing was that my mother was in a room at the back of the house, well away from the driveway, and basically closed up in a room. All the outside doors were closed because it was late at night. She had the doors to the rest of the house closed, and she was watching television, and she listened to TV fairly loud back then, and she heard this, and we never could explain it. We still haven't explained it, and this is almost 40 years down the road. So that's my short story. I have others for you that I'll contact you later about. Thanks a lot. Bye.
When livestock return from the dead.
I think it was something trying to make both of them hear it, since if it were just a naturally occurring horse that was loose or something, because he said it was in rural Texas, mm-hmm. that it would, maybe the person in the front of the house that was near it would hear it, but not with the TV blaring in the back part of the house. It's almost like something was trying to project that sound to both of them.
I wonder if that, or if it was just some sort of weird residual thing that happened to go through.
Could be. We've had stories of ghost people on horseback riding through homes.
Like, it's just, this is what happened at one point in time, and it's repeating itself, and that's what you happen to hear.
House used to be on the road.
Yeah, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't happen again. It's just like, well, that was bizarre, but that's all. I don't know. It's hard to know without more happening in
sure.
that case, but several possibilities there. Thanks for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like our show, sign up to be an EPP at ghostpodcast.com. Get all the bonus episodes of the show. Those are all commercial free. The EPP episodes, just jam-packed with some of the best ghost stories that we get in here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And then you get access also, in addition to all the EPP episodes, you get access to all the old archive that's dropped off of iTunes. You can sit there and binge away on that all the way back to like our first episodes. So all in all, it's like 400 some episodes up there. So check it out at ghostpodcast.com. Let's go to the caller. Hi.
Hi, my name is Tanya, and I'm calling you from Nazareth, Pennsylvania. It's a pretty small town, and I do have a story. I have never really had a true ghost sighting, but I do have somewhat of an experience that I've always kind of wanted to get feedback on. Just something that happened to me in high school that was just a little out of the ordinary to me, and I just always had questions about. So in high school, unfortunately, very sad, there was a boy in the grade above me. His name was Chris, and he commit suicide when I was in high school. not someone that I was in a close friendship with. However, I was close friends with a lot of people who, you know, Chris had relationships with many of my friends. So we were acquainted and, you know, there were plenty of conversations I have had with him, been in the same area as him a couple times, hanging out with the same group of friends. I think he used to call me Goldilocks at one point because I had blonde hair at one point in high school, and I think he used to just teasing, he would call me that. So I'm not sure what you would really call my relationship with him, but I guess it was just more of a friendly, you know, oh hey, how you doing? So very, very, very sad that he took his own life. My story starts with, I was leaving a friend's house one night and I was headed to my boyfriend's house at the time, from my friend's house, which I had never gone to his house from her house before, so I was taking a back route. So I wasn't going the normal way that I would in order to drive to his house. It was, I want to say, around January, so in Pennsylvania it gets really cold and we're getting a lot of snow this winter. So I was driving, it was dark, it was nighttime, not super late, but it was night, and there was snow on the road. It was coming down pretty hard, and I wasn't using a GPS, so I was kind of just winging it. And my boyfriend at the time, he lived kind of in the middle of cornfields, not really the woods, but there were woods in the vicinity of his house, and I was kind of driving through a woodsy-ish area. And I ended up taking a right turn onto this almost dirt road that went up a hill. And I kind of realized once I was going up this hill, like, this doesn't seem right, I don't think I'm in the right direction. So once it took me to the top, I was just going to turn around and go back down and get on the main road again. But I don't know if it was out of curiosity, I just finished going up the hill and then decided I would turn around at the top. So I passed a couple houses on the left and maybe like four houses, tiny ranch houses, and then it spit me out at the top. And when I got to the top, it just felt very quiet, almost eerie, very silent, couldn't hear a thing, just watching the snow fall, no lights except for the headlights on my Jeep, and I was just sitting there in my car, and I just had this feeling of, I really want to, you know, turn my vehicle around as fast as I can and just drive back down this hill because something was unsettling and I wasn't sure what it was, but I just knew I didn't want to be on this road. It was almost like a cul-de-sac, so I had to turn around. There were only cornfields on my left, and to my right, there was a woods, somewhat of a woods. So I started to turn my car around. I was doing almost like a K-turn, and my breathing was really heavy. I just wanted to turn my vehicle around and not look in the direction of the woods. I just had this feeling of, you know, don't look into the woods. You don't want to do that. So just turn around as quick as you can. So I did just that. And I sped back down the hill, and I ended up getting to my boyfriend's house, still feeling a little shaken up, and almost laughed it off. But I said to him, hey, you know, it was weird. I was driving to your house and I took a wrong turn. I kind of described to him the area that I was at, and he was just really quiet, listened to me talk. And then when I finished, he said, you know, Tanya, you were on the road that Chris used to live on, which I did not know this. I didn't know where Chris lived. But my boyfriend at the time, you know, he was associated with Chris too. They were in the same grade and he knew more about him than I did. And he said, yeah, you were on his street. And I told him how I was so upset. I didn't want to look into the woods. And he told me, you know, Chris commit suicide in outside, not in his house. He was outside, either in the woods or on the road, and that's how he shot himself, or where he shot himself. And that was really emotional for me. I just got a little choked up realizing that, you know, maybe the reason why I didn't want to look into the woods was because what if I would have seen Chris? What if he was there and I felt it, but I didn't see it? You know, is it possible that if I looked up, he would have been there looking back at me? And I've always just wanted to know, you know, was he there? I've sometimes have wondered if I should go back at any point in my life just to have peace and say, you know, Chris, I really hope that you're in a good place, and say a prayer at the top of the road. I don't know, but nothing's brought me back so far, and it's just something that's always stuck with me. Suicide is never something anyone will take lightly, and to know the person and have it be someone so young, and to just end up in the area where it happened unexpectedly and not know, but have such strong feelings, it's always going to stick with me. So I know it's a really heavy story. I know I didn't see anything for a fact, but I just figured I would share it with you guys. I love listening to the stories that other people share on your site, on your podcast, and I hope you will share mine with others. All right, thank you.
Okay, you have to move that bell.
I know, I keep hitting it by mistake, but no one else heard it, though.
Okay. You know, the only thing I have to say about this is her experience sounds like most of the experiences I have had as far as how I talk about when I'm in a place that's got a bad energy or feels upsetting.
Mm-hmm.
That is exactly what I feel. And mm-hmm. I think it's just a sensitivity level. You're picking that up, and other people may see things, other people may hear things, but that just, you kind of get to where you can't breathe, you feel uneasy, you need to leave. It almost feels like an anxiety attack, and you don't mm-hmm. know why.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what I go through when I'm in places that are like that. And especially since she had no idea
mm-hmm.
what had even gone on there, you know, I kind of feel like something was trying to reach out to her.
That's how you were acting when we were in the gift shop at the Titanic Museum at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, I was ready to go.
It's like, let's go. No, but look at the Lego Titanic. It's so cool.
I'll see you outside.
But look, honey, there's Titanic keychains and Titanic chocolates. You can split the boat in half with your teeth.
Yeah.
It's
weird.
I can tell when you're in that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't really get that very much.
No.
I mean, unless I've had too many rock star energy drinks.
Yeah.
Which I did the other day.
Yeah.
And I don't really drink energy drinks all that often. We were kind of out and about, and I hadn't had coffee or anything. I'm like, I'm going to have one of these today.
Is that a fresh one over there?
No, that's the one from the other day that I didn't finish.
It's like, don't drink any more of those.
Oh, I know. And it's not an advertisement or anything like that. And not that it really would be a good one either, considering I'm saying I'm sick of them. Or really any energy drink for that matter. But it's just, I had like two of them that day. And just the rest of the day, I was like, it's kind of...
You're jittery.
Yeah. And that's funny. I guess it's kind of what that is.
Yeah, except in a mine's way. Not brought on by energy drinks.
It's run by energy.
Different energy, yes.
Look at that.
Maybe there's something there.
Splurge.
Yeah, splurge does it.
I've been seeing that at stores again.
You mean surge?
Surge.
Yeah.
Yes. Splurge.
Surge.
Yeah, I've seen that. And we have had, you did pick me up some of the delicious crystal clear Pepsi the other day.
Yeah.
Which is back. Is it still out there? Are they done with it? I haven't seen it since that one day.
I think they might be done.
You know, I was really excited for it. And it tastes like regular old Pepsi. It's the retro factor of, remember when it came out, it was such a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And then trying it again and seeing it again, it's like, oh, awesome. And then after the first sip, you're like,
ta-da.
The last 15, 20 years, I've been kind of like, this would be really awesome if this came back. All culminating into like 1-2 second sip. And you're like, I don't put the rest of this back in the fridge either, so I feel kind of guilty drinking it because there's calories in it. So anyway, it's fun retro stuff. Let's go to the caller. Hi, Amanda. You're on the show.
Hi, my name is Amanda, and I'm calling from Texas. So my story is definitely not as dramatic as some of the ones I hear on this show, which is actually kind of disappointing to me because I have always believed in ghosts since I was little, and I always kind of felt like I could feel their energy, but I've just never really had a life-changing encounter, I suppose. But the encounters I have had revolve around my mother, who I lost to cancer about 3 years ago now, in 2013. And ever since then, I've just kind of had instances where I know it had to have been there, her there, such as one time I was driving and I was extremely distraught. I honestly can't remember at what now, but I was bawling my eyes out, just very upset. And so I turned on the radio, and it was a song that immediately reminds me of her, a song that she always played. It was by the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And that's something that I feel a lot happening is when I'm thinking of her, I'll turn on the radio, and one of the songs that reminds me of her will be on. Songs that she played are just songs that, you know, I relate to her. And I really think that she tends to kind of channel, I guess, herself into these songs that I'm hearing. And I know it probably sounds ridiculous. And, you know, a lot of people probably think that it's just by chance. And I don't think, you know, she actually has anything to do with what songs come on the radio, but I do think she has something to do with at what point in time I turn it on, such as, you know, when I was distraught and I may have needed her energy. So I think that's really interesting. And there's been a few times when I've been out the house alone and one of her music boxes will go off by itself, kind of inexplicably. And that's another thing I kind of take as a comfort. And, of course, just a few instances where accidents should have happened or, you know, bad things should have happened, and they didn't. And I think that's her kind of watching over me and taking care of me. And I definitely enjoyed these experiences. And I'm grateful for them. And one day I hope to get, you know, a big message from her. Instead of, I do enjoy these little subtle ones, but obviously we are very close, so I would love for my first dramatic story of a spiritual contact to be from her. But yeah, other than that, that's just my short little story about how I think my mom's spirit contacts me still. I love the show, and I'm glad I found it. And y'all are great. Thank you for doing this.
You know, I've said it so many times. I don't buy coincidence. I think things happen for a reason. And I think when you have, you know, that, like, especially a music box that randomly starts playing,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I kind of just feel like somebody saying, hey, I'm still here.
I think your music box one is a lot more the obvious.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes when we're in search of something, sometimes you'll happen to find it on the radio. But I think there is something to it, too, where it's like maybe there's some influence as to why you're turning to what station at what time. Because
mm-hmm.
I've always wondered about that when people would, and myself included, where it's like, well, why is it that sometimes it just seems the timing is inexplicable on this song being on the radio?
Sure.
And then, you know, and having worked at radio stations my entire life, I know how it works in the background. We sit in studios in the dark. And we light candles and we ask the spirits what songs to play.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's the next song that you play. That's how we decide. That's what a music director does at a radio
station.
Really?
That's what a music director does?
Yeah. No, that's not at all how it works.
I know, but, it's not.
But that's where I always kind of thought, well, you know, it's a computer that's deciding what's going to play half of the time. I mean, based on an algorithm that we've created. Meaning the music people, and then it picks it, and then someone plays it, in an order. A lot of times music on radio stations is pre-programmed days, if not weeks, in advance. And you know, I could tell you what's going to play 3 days from now on a specific station if I had their access to their log.
Sure.
But that so it's hard to say, well, they just happened to play it at this time for the... So is it part of the universe all just kind of working in tandem, like, oh, then this person knows, or this ghost rather knows, to get this person to, you know, turn on the radio at this time? And then I think that makes more sense than the radio station itself. Or, like I said, or is it like everything kind of working in tandem, then we are just no control over any of it?
I don't know. I don't know how it works, but I kind of have a short story relating to that. In the past week, mm-hmm. you know, since my grandfather passed away last week,
mm-hmm.
I have heard the song Unforgettable about 8 times.
Wow.
Yeah. And since he
that doesn't play very often.
No. And he had dementia, so.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of those things where I think it kind of goes back to the, you know, right time, right place.
Right.
And you're pushed in a certain direction for it. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for sharing. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Let's go to this caller right here and hear your story.
Hello, how you doing? Hey, my name is Larry. I live in Memphis, Tennessee. When I was a kid, I was living with my grandmama. And my grandmother we was in her bedroom. And my grandmother was laying across her bed, reading the newspaper. And I guess I may have been about 5 years old. And I was on the floor, playing with my little cowboys and Indian men. And as I was playing, I know it wasn't anybody at home but my grandmother and I. My brother, sister, they was going to school. They're my older brother and sister, so they was going to school. So it wasn't nobody at home but grandmother and I. So I'm on the floor playing. And I suddenly seen something out the side of my eyes. So I looked up, and it was a little short man standing there with a goat in the doorway of my grandmother's bedroom. And he was so short that he was my height, and I was 5 years old. And he was just staring at me, gave me a dead look. I mean, a dead stare, would not take his eyes off me. And he just looked at me with that goat standing beside him. And it scared me so bad. I screamed, I hollered, and I jumped in the bed with my grandmama. I said, look, mama, look, grandmama. Grandma, look. But she didn't see him. But she had seen him before. But she didn't see him then. So my grandma said that whenever you see a ghost in your house or wherever, if you just say the words, Lord, have mercy, the ghost will have to flee from the house. And I can truly say, she said, Lord, have mercy. And that little man and that goat, that man had a long white beard as well. And it seemed like he had on overalls. And like I said, when she said, Lord, have mercy, it fled from the house. And next thing I know, I seen him outside of the house. He was looking in. And she said, Lord, have mercy again. Then he was across the street looking back over at us. And I will never, ever, ever forget that. And that's the God truth. God truth. Thank you so much for listening to my story. My name is Larry. Like I said, I live in Memphis, Tennessee. And all this happened in Memphis, Tennessee. Thank you again. Bye.
So a ghost that brings a pet. Mm-hmm. I don't get it. I mean, that's a different kind of goat man, because we talk about goat man being like half goat, half man.
Mm-hmm.
But this is like a ghost with goat. I don't know.
I'm surprised you didn't make that the title of today's episode.
Ghost with a goat?
Today on Ghost with a Goat. Goat with a ghost. It really could go both ways, either way. Who's the real pet?
You know, I don't understand the significance of the pet there, you know? And that's not the first story we've had with ghosts bringing their pets. It's mm-hmm. like, how does that even happen?
I don't know how that works. Apparently, you get to go pick up a pet at the Humane Society in the sky.
Okay.
I wonder how that works. Do you? I'm really not, I could speculate 500 different ways, and I'm not going to get an answer.
No.
But yeah, interesting story though.
It is.
Let's go to another caller. Hi.
Hi, this is Margie, and I'm calling from Richmond, Virginia. I have a couple stories about dream visitations. The first one is about my grandmother. In the early 90s, she was sick, and at the end of her life, she was bedbound and in an assisted living place. One night, I had a dream. She showed up in my dream and was standing there in her nightgown, looking pretty healthy and smiling at me. And I said, "Grandmother, what are you doing here?" And she just smiled at me, and I just felt this sense of peace and everything. She ended up passing away 3 days later on a Saturday. And another interesting thing about that is I was staying at my boyfriend's house, and at the time, he didn't have a phone, and this was before we had cell phones. So I woke up and I had this overwhelming feeling that something was wrong. It was just like I had to get to a phone because someone was trying to get in touch with me. And so I walked to a gas station and called my mom from a payphone and found out she was trying to get in touch with me because my grandmother died that morning around 10. So I just knew, you know, guardian angels or something were trying to get me to go to a phone. So anyway, I later found out that my sister and a couple of my cousins also had dreams about my grandmother that same week. So I feel like she was going around visiting everybody, which was nice. And she still shows up in my dreams sometimes. In fact, had one the other night. I feel like it was her just showing up to say hello. And I hugged her and cried and was happy to see her. A few months ago, I had another dream where my husband's grandfather showed up at our door and was knocking on our door, and he is deceased now. And my son answered the door and said, "Dad, your grandfather's here. He wants to talk to you." And in my dream, I went and looked out the window and saw him. He was wearing like a hat, and I got the sense that my husband's grandmother was also there, but I couldn't see her. And I don't know what they were talking about. It was a very quick dream. Then the next day, I told my husband about the dream, and he said, "Wow, that's really weird, because last night I dreamed that my grandfather came to see me." So that was very strange that I dreamed he came to see my husband, and my husband dreamed that his grandfather came to see him to talk. So that was interesting. Pretty sure that was a visit. Anyway, that's all I have for now. I will have a couple more stories in the future about being visited by, I think, family members. Anyway, I appreciate your show and love everything you all do. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that experience with us. And I think that's one of those that we just kind of say that kind of explains itself when the visitation happens like that. Appreciate it. 855-853-4802, our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's do one more caller before we wrap up the show for today. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. It's Kelsey from North Carolina again. I called you about, I think, a week ago, and I told you about my experience in the Lizzie Borden house. And if that gets broadcast at all, you'll learn that I'm somewhat sensitive, and so is my entire family. But, so this story happened a few days ago. I listened to you guys basically doing everything. I listened to you guys like on the way to work, like if I'm cleaning my house, I'll just pop my headphones in and listen to you guys. So this particular day I was mowing my lawn and pulling some weeds, doing gardening. And I actually, before this, had never heard the Richard in Chattanooga story. So it was brand new to me. I finally listened to the episode where you guys did like the entire recap of it, like the episode where you featured every single one of his calls. And so I'm just mowing my lawn and I'm listening to the story, and all of a sudden it gets to that part in the story where you can hear the scream or the wind. And it's the part of, like, you hear this before Tony and Jenny talk about it. So, like, as soon as I heard it, I knew exactly what it was, and I immediately got chills up my spine. I had goosebumps, and, like, I was just like, oh my God, oh my God. And it was a beautiful day outside. It was completely sunny. It was, like, just absolutely perfect summer day. And the forecast for the rest of the day was it's supposed to be sunny, which is why I was gardening. And I kid you not, before Richard even finished that story, the entire sky turned gray. And it just got so dark and miserable. And I was just like, oh my God. Like, I hope he's not making up this story, because, like I know Jenny doesn't believe in coincidences, and I'm just like, that's too much of a coincidence. And the dark gray sky lasted for probably about 15 minutes until the phone call ended, and I got a really bad feeling from that. And I don't know, I believe there's evil in this world, and whatever is happening with Richard is not good. All right, well, thank you for listening to my story.
I'm glad that Richard's spirits could ruin your gardening.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, there's been so many weird things, and I say that kind of, you know, jokingly, but at the same time, there's been a lot of weird things around that story.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things, people, you know, feeling ill, you know, when it's playing before they even know what's going on, when they're hearing that weird sound. This is new, having, you know, weather, you know, abnormalities happen. But, you know, honestly, we still have yet to hear anything new out of that story.
Right.
Anything confirmed, anything other than one time after we got that, the last communication from him, which is probably about 2 years ago now. I don't know, 6 months after that, so now probably about a year and a half ago, we got one call from somebody just saying, I know who this Richard is. His stories are real. And that was it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very... I mean, and it could have been anybody,
sure,
you know, just doing a call, but it came from the right area code.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. That doesn't necessarily narrow a whole lot down though either, but I hope things have worked out, corrected themselves, or gotten better for him and his family, because obviously last we had heard things were not all that great.
Right.
But interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And creepy and disturbing that people are still being affected by that.
It is.
That story. So that, by the way, way back there, might be in the, in fact, I know it is. It's in the EPP sections now, because the story is so far back in our log of episodes. It will be in the classic Real Ghost Stories online section at ghostpodcast.com if you want to relive that magic. Just do it on a sunny day, you know,
yeah.
Although that proves to not necessarily work all that well from that last caller. So there you go. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, help keep us on the air. Become an EPP extra podcast person. You sign up to be one of those on our website at ghostpodcast.com. Get all those bonus episodes and so much more. Check it out, ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.